Hi there, welcome to the Happy Health Chat podcast with me, Laura Agar-Wilson from wholeheartedlyhealthy.com and Kezia Hall from supernaturallyhealthy.org. That's right, isn't it? It is .org, isn't it?
Yes.
I had a moment of thinking, have I forgot the .co or something on the end of it or something, but no, .org. So hello everyone, welcome to the podcast. Before we get into our meaty topic today, which is sleep, which I can talk about for quite a lot at the moment. We're going to just share our updates. So Kezia, what have you been up to?
Oh, well, it has been a good month, I suppose, since our last podcast. So things are looking very green in my life at the moment. I'm working on my my green smoothie and juice e-recipe book. So if only you'd all been a fly on the wall in my kitchen yesterday. It was filled with spinach, kale, cherries, lighting, photographs, tripods, all that sort of stuff, which is very fun. I think my poor husband is maybe a bit sick of eating green smoothies now because I keep on testing out all the recipes on him. So, but that's been really fun, and I'm just in the final stages of doing some illustrations for that and doing some drawings as well, which will be fun. And that will be coming out in by the end of May, hopefully, fingers crossed. Yeah, which will be really fun. And so that's been doing that, and I started another Flourish e-course, so that was really, really fun. And I've just been, it's one of those funny things. I mean, you probably know this, Laura, with all the e-course, with your e-course as well. It's kind of like I've been running them for probably about 6 months, and each one I do, with feedback that I get and how things go, it's always just slightly tweaking it to make it even better and more awesome. So I'm just working a little bit on that for the my last one before summer starts on there. I think it's the 5th of June, and then that'll be the last one until September. So that's been really fun, and yeah, it's been. And I was away in Paris at the weekend.
Oh, so that I was didn't mention that fun. Before. Lovely.
Yeah. So that was really, really fun. A real treat. And less wine than I was expecting. I thought, like, I'm going to France. It's time for cheese and wine. It was fun. I went to the Eiffel Tower in the rain and tried to speak French. And actually, because I know a little bit of Spanish and a little bit of Italian, but no language properly, if that makes sense. Yeah. I ended up speaking in Spanish and Italian, mostly, to lots of people.
I get those mixed up,
I was totally
in German, you see, after a bit of German in as well.
Thankfully I don't know any German, but I did live in Italy for a while, and so I was coming out with, like, prego and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm in the wrong country. So that was slightly embarrassing. But it was fun, and it was fun to travel. I quite like, when I go away, trying different, like, travel health things as well to see how well they work. And so that was quite fun. This time I was trying out, you know how you get, like, little green juice sachets?
Green
powder sachets, like travel-sized ones. So I was trying out a few of those, which some were disgusting and some tasted amazing.
Oh,
so that was a win.
Looking forward to sharing those. Are you going to share that on the blog, on your blog?
I'm going to do a little travel, a little travel essentials kit of the things. So I always take, there's always a few things that I take.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what you're going to be eating when you're away all the time, but just stuff to help you, like, make sure you're getting good things in your body all the time. But what about you, Laura? What has been happening in the world of wholeheartedly healthy?
Well, the Fabulous You course has kicked off, and I was just so happy with, the amount of people who have signed up, and they're absolutely such a wonderful bunch of ladies, and the Facebook group is just absolutely buzzing. It's non-stop with people kind of posting and being really supportive of each other and everything. It's just absolutely wonderful. So it's really made my day. So I'm kind of really enjoying working on that with everyone. And that's fab. And then coming up for me, I'm going down to Brighton next week on my kind of little, we always go to Brighton. We've been to Brighton in May for the last 5 years or something. We always go at this time of year because the Brighton Festival's on and the Great Escape Music Festival's on. So we're going down our first holiday with Finley as well. So it's going to be interesting, I think, to see how we kind of manage with having a baby in amongst all the stuff that we used to do, which is kind of going to be a bit weird because I don't think we'll be out drinking red wine until midnight anymore. Yes. But I'm sure we're doing lots of other more fun things, I'm sure. So we look forward to that. And then after that, I've got, I'm popping down to London to do a presentation for a research company, which is going to be quite interesting, kind of. They were wanting to know a bit about kind of what motivates people to eat healthily and, you know, what the current trends are and things like that. So that's going to be really interesting to do that. So I've got that coming up in the middle of May. And then I think at the end of May, I'm just going to go, because as much as holiday, you know, Brighton's a holiday, it's still like kind of very active, you know, out and about and things. And, so I'm definitely planning like a bit of a day off. You know, as we say, day off. I mean, we were just talking, everyone, before we started the podcast that I'm planning a week's holiday in November. The next time I'm planning a holiday, it's like, yeah. So I'm going to have a day off at the end of May. Yeah, I've got it in my calendar in big, big letters, day off. Because that's something that I talk about that I'm going to be including on the in a couple of weeks for anyone who's listening who's on the Fabulous You course, is about having like a day off, like a retreat day or a May day or however you want to say it, because I think that's really important for just for everyone. And I think some people say it's quite indulgent or selfish, but sometimes you just need a day out. And I think especially if you're a bit more introverted, which I tend to be a little bit more, and I think I need time on my own to re-energize, to kind of like recharge. So I really can't wait for that. So that's kind of, I think that's everything I've had kind of going on, really, is, just kind of, just still enjoying, you know, writing the blog and just the usual stuff. So, yeah, and unfortunately, though, I do have a teething baby on my hands at the moment. So he's kind of top two front teeth are coming in, and he's not enjoying that at all, poor little thing. Which hopefully now that they've kind of, you know, popped through his gums, you might start feeling a bit better, but yeah, so lots of sleepless nights, hence we are talking about sleep.
Yeah, we come back to our topic.
Nice little segue in there to the sleep thing. So we thought we would chat about sleep, and again, I mean, I think, and I'm just really fanatical about, you know, how important sleep is, I think, for your well-being, and I think I'll go on to my frustrations with being a parent later on, but I think generally, for everyone, I think sleep's really, really important. You know, kind of good quality sleep. I just think it's, you know, research has shown that if you don't get enough sleep, it can impact your metabolism, your hunger levels, you know, just have like loads of knock-on effects and stuff, your stress levels, just all sorts of things. So, what's your personal experience being in with sleep, Kezia?
I sleep pretty much really well, unless I've watched, I don't know, too much Netflix or something before I've gone to sleep, my brain's buzzing. I used to not sleep very well, especially growing up, like more teenage years, and I think that was probably a lot to do with anxiety and stress, I think, to be honest, and also probably a few health problems, because it's as you say, it's a bit of a weave of your anxiety affects your sleep, your stress level affects your sleep, but also if you have any sort of deficiencies, any health issues going on. I often work with clients that are dealing with hormone things, and that massively affects your sleep. If your hormones shift, or if they're out of whack or imbalanced or whatever it is. But it's definitely something, in terms of my own experience, I completely notice it in my health. If I consistently don't get about 8 hours sleep every night, so say at the weekend I have late nights and then I have another late night on Monday and Tuesday, by Wednesday I'll not be well. Like, it's become a really obvious pattern of behaviour. And also, like, that'll just be with things like colds or viruses, or I'll often, I know I'm run down when my glands swell up in my neck. That's my sign that I'm fighting something, and I'm a bit, or I get mouth ulcers. That's something that shows me I'm a bit run down. And so if I consecutively don't have enough sleep, I feel pretty crap. And then also food cravings, like you were saying before, they can just go crazy.
Massive, yeah. I'm experiencing that at the moment, actually.
I just want to live off lattes and cake. And massively notice it impacting my eating and therefore it really impacts my mood as well. Mm-hmm. So I often say to people, I do think sleep is one of the foundation of good health. Yeah. You know, you can be having as many vegetables and good things as you like, but if you're getting 4 hours sleep a night, or mm-hmm. you're stressed out and mm-hmm. therefore you can't sleep, and then actually the most beneficial thing you can do for your health, especially if you're trying to overcome health issues, heal the gut, balance hormones, and lose weight as well. I bet you say it to people on your course as well. Yeah. We probably harp on about it, actually, is it really affects your blood sugar. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you are just going to want to crave crap, and you're not going to be able to lose weight.
It's stacking up everything against yourself when it comes to that, when you're not getting enough sleep.
Definitely. And your hormones, and that affects your weight loss, and I fiercely guard my sleep, and friends and people who I socialize with do notice that they'll often, and I am naturally an early bird. I'm not a night owl kind of, although I wonder if some of that is because I've conditioned myself to, once I get past a certain point, I can stay up for ages, but I do have quite clear boundaries with sleep. I will be antisocial or seemingly rude and leave something that's happening in a nice way, communicate well, but be like, I need to go to sleep. I think when you've experienced the poor health in general, but especially if what's poor health that lack of sleep can bring, then it's not worth it. So I'm in bed ideally by 10 o'clock person, asleep maybe by 10:30, 11, up anywhere between 6 and 7:30, depending on the light and the time of year. I sleep in more in winter, which I kind of let myself do that because it feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, I can sometimes be awake at 5:30, hello, but not all the time. I read something about, Danny on Danny's blog from, Hungry, Happy, Healthy. She was saying she sets an alarm to wake up at 5:30 every day. I was like, woof, respect to you, Danny. I'll wake up at 5:30 if it's natural, but not through an alarm. So yeah, that's been my sort of own experience with sleep and my own real journey of it, from being anxious, stressed, unwell, and I used to not prioritize sleep. As a student, I didn't, I just thought it was pointless. Mm-hmm. As a teenager, it was cool to not sleep and stay up watching telly. But I definitely now am a fierce guarder of my sleep. Yes. And I've not had children or anything like that, so I've not had to manage that whole wonderful journey.
Well, I have.
Which I'm sure you can talk about.
So kind of before I got pregnant, slept pretty well. Not like, I wouldn't say really, really well, but I slept, you know, reasonably well. I definitely think at times when I kind of had, when I was over exercising, and I mean, I'll come on to, I think exercise can really, depending on the level of it, can really affect your sleep as well. And I've worked with clients where when they've kind of reduced their exercise down, they've slept a lot better. I think there's a very fine balance with exercise because it can improve sleep. But so when I was over exercising, I think that definitely impacted on my sleep. And I'm generally, exactly like you, you know, I used to love being in bed by 10, sometimes even earlier, and then up at kind of 6-ish was kind of like my routine for a long time. And then I got pregnant, and kind of the beginning of the pregnancy, I was just exhausted all the time, which I think is quite common in the first kind of trimester. So I would often be in bed 8:30, 9 o'clock really early, and kind of, you know, sleep through 6 before I would get up. And then kind of towards the end of the pregnancy, I started having much more disrupted nights, and I was kind of waking up in the middle of the night and just not being able to get back to sleep. And I would actually get up and actually sit, which was the worst thing I could do, but actually sit and type on the laptop and stuff, which was silly, and then go back to sleep. And then obviously I had Finley, and I kind of always thought, I think, whether or not it would have happened, but I always thought towards the end of the pregnancy, I would have, you know, really, I would have gotten all my work done, and I would have been really getting loads of sleep, ready for the labour and ready for the sleepless nights and really preparing myself for it. And I didn't get that opportunity because he came early. Whether or not it would have made a difference, I'm not sure. So had Finley, and what is sleep?
Yeah.
Kind of happened. And I think, like, I was just, I think for start, like, I had to, I mean, when Finley was born, he was quite sleepy because he was early and he was a bit jaundiced, so I had to wake, so I had the staff in the hospital waking me up every 3 hours to feed him.
Oh, okay.
So kind of started off with that, and then kind of just, yeah, it just kind of got to the point where, yeah, you're kind of getting woken up every few hours, basically, and it's yeah. really hard, and I think I think the worst points of sleep was when we were in hospital, because of anyone who's stayed in the hospital before, you don't yeah. really get to sleep properly, no, you know, exactly. not with all the lights and things on, you're not sleeping, for me, because I wasn't, obviously, I'm not the patient, Finley was, you don't yeah. really get a proper bed to sleep in, you just kind of got, like, at one point, I was just lying on a sofa, and then the other point, I was, like, on this, like, weird, like, pulley out bed thing, which was really uncomfortable, and then you're still getting woken up every few hours, you know, yeah. anyway. So it was just really hard. And to be honest, I think back and I don't know how. I actually do not know how I physically coped with getting, at some point, you know, within like 5 days, I might have gotten, I would be lucky if I had maybe 6 hours of sleep within 5 days, like ridiculously low amounts of sleep. But at the same time, I do think, you know, especially when you're a parent, and I think maybe breastfeeding's a positive part of it as well, but I'm sure that something happens to your body hormonally that helps you get through it.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to be, I don't know whether or not some parents get enough recognition of, about really how bad it can get or how bad it is, because it is really, really hard. And I think when you're breastfeeding as well, you can't say to your husband, oh, will you get up with him this time? Or can I sleep through tonight and you would do tonight and do the wake-ups tonight or something? You can't really do that.
No.
It's not like, I mean, yeah, once they're older, you can pump a bottle, but you can't, like, if you go all night, anyone who's breastfeeding, if you go all night and don't feed, you'll end up with, like, two rock-hard boobs, you know, leaking all over yes. you by the morning. You won't be very comfortable.
No.
So it's tough. So what I kind of felt, and I mean, I got really frustrated because I was like, I was starting to see all these articles pop up of saying that, you know, sleep's so important, you're going to be, you know, you're going to have diabetes and you're going to be obese, you don't get your sleep. And I was like, oh my God, I'm screwed. You know what I mean? What am I going to do?
Yes. Crap.
Yeah. And that kind of, I mean, I wrote a post on the blog and I'll make sure that I link to it in the blog post and stuff. But really, it's kind of, I think what happens is when you're in that situation and when you can't do anything, obviously that there's lots of things that you can do to maximise your sleep as a parent. If you're breastfeeding, I would totally recommend looking at the bed sharing, because that's really, really massively increased the amount of sleep that I get. There's also things like having naps during the day, if you can manage to do that, and I'm trying to do that. I keep on trying. It doesn't really suit me to try and sleep during the day, but yeah. I really try to. And, you know, so there's things that you can do to try and maximise that sleep. But the bottom line is we do live in the real world, and a lot of times, you know, we've got to go back to work. We've got, you know, things to do. We've got other commitments, or that, you know, people have got other children, things to take care of. So it's about coping then, and it's about dealing with the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
So I think then it becomes that your nutrition becomes really, really important.
Yeah.
That even more than what it would be anyway. So it's really, really important with your nutrition. To kind of make sure that you know, that you're getting as many nutrients in, that you're eating as well balanced. And something I'm finding at the moment, which I'm probably going to talk about on my blog, is I'm really having an issue with sugar at the moment, which I've never had before, really. I've never had, like, being like a sugar craving type person, but I'm really experiencing those, so I think I need to have a bit of a focused, I won't say a sugar detox, but I think I need to do something about that, about managing the sugar stuff. And I know that stems from being tired. So, you know, having your nutrition is shit hot as you can, basically. Really, really good nutrition is key. And I think kind of looking at your exercise as well. And I mean, I'm in a tricky position because I signed up to do a half marathon.
Yes.
Probably when I was insane from the lack of sleep.
Yeah.
And I've signed up to do it now.
Yeah, because when is it? September?
Oh, God, yeah, it's September. I think I'm going to put something on the blog about this, but yeah, I've signed up to do the half marathon. And now, like, on Monday, basically, after a really rough night of sleep, you know, totally planned to do a run, and I was just like, I've sat on the sofa in front of James crying, saying, how in the hell am I supposed to train for a half marathon when I've got a child who will not sleep? How? And to be honest, yeah, don't sign up for half marathon. Don't sign up for races. Do not do stuff like that. I am really silly for doing this. I'm really, really silly. When you've got a child that's not going to sleep for the first year, you know, you've got to kind of just take a really relaxed attitude to exercise, because yeah, all of your, you need to be reserving energy and stuff. And I've always said sleep trumps exercise. You get far more benefits. Yeah. I think you've got far more benefits from having really an extra hour of sleep than what you've got from having an hour at the gym. I really do believe that. And I think sometimes the lift that you get off exercise, I think what you've got to be careful is, I mean, I often feel quite energized by exercise. But sometimes you've got to watch, because your body can, it's actually, that's like an adrenal response, and it's the only thing that kind of gets your body going, and it's just about kind of, it's just actually stressing your body out more. So it's finding that balance with it, I think.
No, it's true. I think it's very, I definitely used to be more over-exercise, especially with running. I used to train for half marathons, and then some of it was I didn't know how to cope with things emotionally, so I would just run, which sometimes it's a great response, and but not all the time. But it was really interesting what you say about how exercise affects sleep, because I definitely know if I'm ever too busy or away or something, or when I've had a bad back in the past and I've not been able to do much exercise, maybe other than walk and not even really be able to do that properly, I've definitely noticed it affect my sleep detrimentally in terms of not, I sleep a lot better if my muscles are a bit tired, but it's totally true. If you over-exercise and are consistently stressing out your adrenal glands and your thyroid and just adding more stress to your body, if you're already stressed out, actually, it's just going to really cause an imbalance in all the hormones, and you won't be sleepy. You won't want to sleep. You might wake up at funny times in the night. And I think that's a really, really good point. And I think it's a really good point as well. I think with people that are more exercise obsessed or think that they'll just lose weight or get whatever, you know, the answer is to exercise more. Then I think you're right. I think sleep is better. And there's so much exercise now you can do in 20 minutes or like Tabata stuff. And there's lots and lots more research showing how that's actually a lot more effective.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think once I've done this race, and I am committed to doing it, although to be honest, I think I'll probably be walking half of it, and that is fine because I'm doing it for the cause. You know, I'm doing it to raise money for the heart unit to help Finley. And I'm not doing it to run the race like what I have in the past. I've already kind of met my aims with half marathons before. But after I've done that, I'm definitely, my workouts will not exceed 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, I quit the gym this month as well, which was quite a big thing for me. Yeah.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah. I quit the gym, and that is a massive thing for me, because I think I've always been at the gym. The gym's always been like a consistent thing for exercise. Yeah. Ever since I started losing weight, so to quit, that's quite a big thing. But I can see now, I think, for the future, 30 minutes workouts will be my max after I've done this run. So exercise can definitely have a bit of an impact on sleep, whether that's a positive impact or a negative impact. Yeah.
And then another thing that massively impacts sleep is the wonderful topic of caffeine.
Oh, yes, of course.
And that affects your adrenals and hormones and energy. And
so where do you stand on caffeine then? What do you recommend?
I think it's a bit of a, what's the word? It's a bit of a mixed bag of information out there. I mean, I'm not, you know, obviously neither of us are doctors, but I do sometimes read some of the studies and the literature out there, the stuff that I can understand.
Yeah.
And it seems that, especially when it comes to caffeine and especially coffee, there is just a real mixed response. I know doctors that swear it's horrendous. It really stresses out your adrenals, health, gut, blah, blah, blah. And then other people are like, it can be really beneficial. So I think it's one of those things. I do think caffeine should be limited. I suppose that's kind of my general rule for everyone. But when I say that, I mean, you know, I don't think everyone should be having 6 cups of coffee a day. So me and my partner, for example, if I have, when I used to live in Italy, sometimes I would have like an espresso or macchiato in the morning. So that's about 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And by 10 or 11 that night, I would still be buzzing from it. And unable to sleep. Whereas my other half, he can sometimes have a coffee or an espresso after a dinner out. Yeah. Sleeps like a log. Totally fine. Yeah. So I think a lot of it depends on how we metabolize caffeine, and that's different and quite unique to all of us. But I do think if sleep and getting to sleep is an issue for people, and also if there is any issues around adrenal health and that kind of thing, I do think it is good to be aware of how much caffeine you're having, not necessarily ditch it altogether because I still have coffee now and then. Mm-hmm. I have cocoa probably every other day, which has caffeine in, or green tea or normal mm-hmm. tea. I do like a good cup of tea. So, but I do think caffeine is definitely worth being aware of, and especially with sleep. So I tend to like the rule where it says, you know, no caffeine after about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Unless people know they're totally unaffected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was funny, with the e-course that I do, we start off with a bit of a detox week, a body and mind detox. And so we look at mindset stuff, but a couple of, do it with food as well. And some of that is trying to go caffeine free for a few days, purely just to see how people's bodies respond. And so yeah. There was somebody who normally had a coffee every day, really liked it, went off caffeine, felt fine, no problems. Drank a coffee again after a few days, felt fine, no problems. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, I'm fine with caffeine.
Yeah.
Someone else had cups of tea and green tea and healthy sources of caffeine. They had really bad headaches mm-hmm. for maybe the first few days, then felt a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went back onto the caffeine a couple of days later and felt awful. And they realized that was a bit of a trigger of a couple of their health issues. Mm-hmm. That was all within the same group, similar age of people, all women. So I do think caffeine is a really individual thing for people. And there's great, really good natural sources of it as well, like mm-hmm. cacao, cocoa powder, green tea, normal tea, good quality coffee that's organic. Yeah. But for me personally, if I drink caffeine, I don't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I avoid it if possible. But what about you? Because often if you're not getting a lot of sleep, the cravings for caffeine and stimulants.
Yeah, I don't have, I mean, like I say, at the moment, what I'm kind of dealing with is more of a craving for sugar than caffeine. So I tend to have, I mean, the way I kind of do it is I have one caffeinated, like one really nice coffee in the morning, and then I have green tea, and usually at about kind of like mid-afternoon, I try and switch to Rubios.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of the day. And that tends to work all right for me. At one point, I was having to kind of stop with green tea, like, after lunch, because I was starting to get headaches in the afternoon. I noticed when I stopped with the green tea that they stopped. Luckily, I don't have too much of the caffeine craving. I think for me, the thing with coffee is more, it's like a treat, and I more crave the treat than I crave the caffeine, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. I love having a coffee and going out for one or making one.
It's lovely. Absolutely love that.
Yeah. I'm not bothered if it's caf or I often will go for decaf just because if it's a good quality.
Yeah.
If it's been well sourced, because that's the other thing that's worth mentioning. If people do switch to decaf, so say you feel affected mm-hmm. by caffeine, especially with coffee or mm-hmm. tea, it's really important that you go for good quality decaffeinated products, because often, say with coffee, for example, they can use really harsh chemicals, and which I've had a few clients that react to the chemicals mm-hmm. that used to decaf. So with coffee, you want like Swiss water method decaffeinated, ideally. And I'm not too sure about the different decaffeinating methods with tea.
Mm.
But as you say, things like rooibos are kind of very tea-like. But I'm not clued up on the decaf elements
for the
tea.
Of
how they do it, but I imagine mm-hmm. there's the potential of also using mm-hmm. chemicals there.
Yeah.
You're right. It's going out for a nice cup of coffee somewhere is a definite treat.
It definitely is.
So what helps you cope with not getting much sleep then, Laura?
I'm laughing because I'm kind of feeling I suppose what's helped me is, I mean, like I say, maximizing the sleep that I can get, so things like going to bed early, a lot earlier than normal, and bed sharing and things like that to maximize the sleep. But I mean, really what will help me now, and I'm saying what will help me now because I have slipped into a kind of a place where I am craving sugar. I think what I need to do is crowd out the sugar rather than detox it. So I think it's having more kind of, savoury, less sugary kind of snacks and things. But really, I think it's kind of just making sure that you put that time in, just even if you're not asleep, to just rest.
It's really good.
Rest and to make sure again that your exercise is kind of complementary to your situation. I think it's kind of accepting that some things just aren't going to get done because you need a rest, and that's more important.
Yeah.
You know, simply. So but mostly I think it comes down to nutrition. I mean, one thing I did kind of work with, and this is something that I've recommended to clients as well, because I did go through phases of finding it really difficult to get off to sleep. And I think because I would get quite anxious about the night ahead and how often I would get woken up and whether or not he would be unhappy, an unhappy baby and things, you know, when he was waking up and whatnot. And I kind of started retaking magnesium, which is kind of, it's like, it's really, really good for promoting sleep and for kind of relaxation. It's quite a sedative kind of supplement to have. And a lot of people are deficient in that, so it's quite useful to take on an evening. So I've taken both like magnesium calcium supplements in tablet form, but also magnesium calms. Have you came across that before, Kezia?
What, as in the...
Is it the powder?
Oh, no, I've never used it, but I have heard about it, of people adding it to... night drinks and smoothies
and just kind of like the one that I've got is like it's like a lemon one that's sweetened with stevia and you can get it off Amazon, so I would sometimes have like a drink of that and that would kind of just help kind of just, you know, quite relaxing. Another thing that is help, and I think this is kind of across the board, but like promoting, you know, better sleep, is to have like some screen free time. I've been reading a really interesting book. I was mentioning it, Kezia. It's about childhood sleep, but it kind of sets the context a lot about sleep in general. And it's called The Gentle Sleep Book. And that kind of just, I mean, I already knew this anyway, but kind of like the amount of screen time that we have nowadays is insane, really, when you think about it. And the actual, the light, the quality of the light that is emitted from screens, whether that's television, phones, pads, whatever, is like, it's like a blue tinged light. And that light is quite stimulating to, it doesn't want to grab it because it actually goes to specific gland in your brain. It goes through, through the optic nerve and goes to your hypothalamus. I think it's the hypothalamus. And really messes with your circadian rhythm.
Yes, no, I've read that. I'm not great for, I've been aware of that for a while. And, because you can also get like, glasses. So if you are using a computer in the evening, like basically like orange glasses, I think just from Amazon.
Can they?
I know a few people that just have, that ideally you would not be using screen time, but especially in wintertime, it's dark in Scotland at about 5 o'clock. So I'm still with, but it's, so the glasses that you use whenever using a screen, especially computers, when as soon as it's dark to kind of help, because obviously the light massively impacts your circadian rhythm and the hormones that you're releasing. So I've been, and they're not expensive, I don't think. I've been meaning to get a pair for ages, but I think you do look a bit of a wally because you sit with these kind of like, I think it's basically to filter out that blue light to neutralize it. It's like people also recommend your bedside lamp should also have a red light bulb in it instead of a yellow one if you like to read in bed, because it's less, that similar sort of stimulating for your brain to help you release the right hormones for sleep. But no, I think there's, I think that is, screen time is definitely something I need to work on myself.
And again, things like eating a little bit too close to bedtime when your body's, you know, kind of, you know, if it's working on diet, if you have like a particularly heavy meal or anything like that, it might be about, you know, avoiding doing that too. I think a lot often it's about experimenting with what works for your body and what works for your sleep. As well, sometimes it can be about kind of making sure that you've got like, it's I can't even, don't know whether this is the right correct way to pronounce it, but it's tryptophan or something like that. It's one of the amino acids that's supposed to promote sleep. Do you know what, I can't pronounce it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same, because I always read these things.
And I read them and then I never have to say
I never
them.
Really have to say them out loud.
It's, but basically there's an amino acid that's present in things like turkey, chicken, yogurt. It's like a protein. And that's supposed to be really useful for health, for sleep as well. So kind of perhaps having something like that, you know, within your evening meals and things. But again, it's a quite a hard one. I think you can supplement with it, but it might, again, it might be something to kind of look at.
But no, it is true. And I suppose some of it is creating a bit of a wind down ritual in the evening as well.
Meditating and things as well. I mean, you can get, although it's a screen, dare I say, you can get like lots of really good apps and things for meditation now, but you just kind of want to just kind of do it out the corner of your eye and then flip into it and don't look at the screen when you're doing it. But yeah, there's Headspace, there is Mindfulness, I think it is. I'm just going to have a look on my phone. Mindfulness. And there's Calm. So those are apps I've all used that are really good and kind of offer like nice little kind of snippets of meditation stuff, which are really good for helping you wind down.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I am a big fan of baths Even if, obviously we don't always have time to have nice, long, luxurious baths, but, so even last night I was working, until the evening, because I was out doing something else in the afternoon, and so it got into about 9:30, and I was tired, but I knew I needed to unwind, so I just had a quick, like, 20-minute bath, really hot, with some essential oils in, some magnesium in, because you can get magnesium flakes and make magnesium oil, which I also do, as well as the supplementation. So that's a really good way of absorbing it all into your body. And just the sitting essential oils as well can be really good at helping you unwind. And I didn't spend ages, but just, and I sometimes will read a random book or a poem or something. And just to get my brain sort of into relaxation mode. I think sometimes it's quite good to have things that just trigger that change of, okay, I'm not doing the dishes or sorting out the kids or doing work anymore. I'm now unwinding for bed. And and I'm terrible for that actually being a Netflix or a something involving a screen.
Yeah, I think most people are,
But I am slowly getting a bit more aware of, okay, let's have some non-screen time.
I mean, just reading a book or a magazine or doing something different like that.
You know. I've been getting into my novels. That aren't nutrition based. Because I've always wanted, like, reading, like, the calorie myth or cholesterol or reading, you know, sleep or my nutrition index or, I quit sugar,
I'm rereading I Quit Sugar at the moment. That's been my bedtime reading, which is
so I'm trying to make that, like, a novel.
Yeah, that sounds nice. That
nothing
sounds really good.
To do with food and nutrition and helping people. So, so I have been, but I think, so that's a good amount of tips we've got there in terms of either coping with the lack of sleep or helping with sleep. So I think we've talked about maximizing your sleep that you do have, if that is a problem. So either napping, bed sharing with kids, if
it works for you,
And we've also talked about exercise and being aware of whether that is helping or hindering your sleep patterns, because it can have either effect. Also, we've looked a little bit at supplementation, so talked a bit about magnesium, which you can take in capsule form or in baths or in magnesium oil that you spray on your skin. I'll maybe leave a link to the blog of how to do that. So it's really easy to make your own magnesium spray. And I suppose talking a bit about your nighttime rituals.
Yeah, definitely.
Creating those and screen time. And like Laura was saying about how that affects your hormones and all the stuff that you release. So that's a good load of tips.
It is. I mean, I'm going to add one more. I've just kind of just jumped in my head. But I think spending some time out, I think it's just making sure that your body's got the circadian rhythms thing going on. So I try and do is, and I think this is where I sometimes clash a little bit with the afternoon nap thing, is that when it's daytime, like I try and get outside every day now. And I think it's just kind of like, you know, when you're up, kind of like opening the curtains, letting the light, you know, getting the light on your eyes and getting the light into your body and things. And then obviously on the night, keeping the lights low and starting to reduce the, it kind of goes with the screen time, but you know, kind of, making sure that you're using like low, you know, low wattage bulbs and things in your lamps and things, turning off all the big lamps and trying to, keep the kind of things nice and relaxing and lowly lit. And that just kind of eases your body into that circadian rhythm and keeps it going.
And actually another point that a tip I'll put on that is, at night, making sure it's dark.
Cover all the lights and stuff.
If it's not dark. So I sleep with an eye mask, because that works well for me. Because our blackout blinds don't fully work, so I have a good eye mask. And if I don't have that, if I go away and I forget to take it, I won't sleep as well. That and the magnesium will affect. I always sleep well, but the depths of sleep, and I think the amount of like REM sleep, sort of your REM sleep, I think is massively affected by how dark it is. And again, totally right, in the morning, that whole light aspect. And I know in wintertime I was tempted to get one of those waking lamps.
I've had one of those before and they're really, really good.
Because I do think it makes a big difference. And now it's fine because the light wakes me up naturally, which is nice. But I think in this winter I'll definitely invest in one of them.
I thought they're great. Really, really
good. To really help trigger the right hormones at the right time of day. And I think that makes a really big difference. So hopefully that has helped everyone.
Yes.
Whether you're struggling to get sleep and your life circumstances are meaning you need to survive on little, a bit like where Laura's at, or actually if
you've just not gotten into a good groove of finding your sleep and, or not really maybe prioritized it. Hopefully this has been really, really helpful to you. We, both me and Laura, are massive advocates of
sleep. Oh, definitely.
Leads to ongoing health and slimness and happiness and good mood and energy. And it's really, really one of the key foundations of ongoing health and fabulousness.
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. And I think I always do this with these podcasts, but I'm going to slip one more thing.
Well, you always think of things.
I always do think of things as a go on. I should actually write a list before we start. But I was just mentioning as well to you, I was reading in that book that if you do kind of have a problem where you wake up in the middle of the night and kind of find it hard to get back off for a couple of hours, there is kind of research that's been done to show that actually that's the way that humans used to sleep, was that before the Industrial Revolution that kind of encouraged us to sleep in one block through the night, that we used to have biphasal sleep. So we would have like a one sleep phase and then have a wake up and then another sleep phase, which I find really interesting because I think a lot of people experience that. So I'm going to do a bit more research on that. But I think that's really interesting. And again, I mean, the afternoon nap thing, I think again, there's quite a lot of kind of research to show that that's like a really good way of kind of, you know, maximising your sleep, having like a power nap.
Power naps.
So again, I mean, I'm going to keep on trying with the naps, I think.
Or even afternoon meditations.
Yeah.
Like I often will just listen to I don't ever do guided meditations. Mm-hmm. I often just listen to music without words, sometimes for 10 minutes and close my eyes. It's not really, I'm not aiming for sleep, but it's like getting heart rate down, breathing. Yeah, time out.
Yeah, definitely. So so I hope that those have been useful tips and everything. And like, if you are a new parent and you are struggling with sleep, you've got my sympathies from the bottom of my heart. Yes.
And mine.
Because I know how hard it is.
It is. I've not experienced how hard it is, but I've seen a lot of friends have lots of sleepless nights, and I don't know how you do it. I think you must get some secret hormone that gets released.
I really do.
The hormone. I've seen it with my sister. She has three kids under five, and crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. But thank you so much for joining us for this happy health chat. And as always, you can find Laura at wholeheartedlyhealthy.com, and she has a fabulous newsletter, runs a fabulous UE course, and lots of other great stuff. Obviously, does coaching and all sorts of good things as well, which you can sign up there. I'm over at supernaturallyhealthy.org, and also have a fun emails that go out every week and some ebooks and e-course, and we are both basically just super passionate about helping you live as healthy and as fabulous and happy a life as you can, because you deserve it, and it's available to you. It just takes a little bit of fun and learning and investing, and so that's our big aim. So make sure you sign up to both of our things, and join the Happy Health Chat on Twitter, and let us know any questions you have as well. If you want to see any particular topic covered, we would love to answer, and we try to get back to anyone's questions that they give. So on either of our Facebook pages or on the Happy Health Chat Twitter or Facebook page, just go for it. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. We'll see you again soon.
Bye.